Blog Talk Radio. Alafia. Greetings, Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omega 7 Live coming to you straight from my living room. I'd like to say hello to all of my old guests and a barigani to my new guests. Thank you for joining us during this new segment. We are on our new segment of 120 minutes. However, today we are coming on a little bit late. And we will be still featuring all of our areas and subjects this evening. And we'd like for you to stay tuned and lock that dial in at 646-478-0270. And we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere because we have a lot to bring to you this evening. We want you to stay tuned and we'll be right back at you. As we know that we cannot do anything without the power of faith. And it's the power of faith that gives us the ability to come on here on a regular basis and to be able to talk to you. So stay tuned for the power of faith.
Every day, from the moment I
they
Welcome back, family. If you will just join me over in the talking cure room, stand to your feet. It's the call to prayer with our hands facing up, waiting to receive. As we stand to our feet, the talking cure, I want you to understand, is very important. You summons your brother and sister to prayer as you stand in the gap for others. Standing in the need of prayer. Lord, as we come before you today, knowing that each and every one of us are called to come to prayer. As we stand before you, Father, I ask that you will examine us and see if we are fit to be used as a vessel. Father God, we ask that you will use us as ambassadors as we go into the highways and byways. We ask that we would lend our vocal cords to you so you could use us as you will. Father God, as we stand with our hands open, waiting to receive, you told us to remind you of what your prayers were. We're reminding you that your prayers were yea instead of nay. We have decided to abide in you and let your word abide in us. So therefore, we can come and ask what we will. Father God, for those families who are present here today, representing those family members who may be broken, disenfranchised, and disconnected, we ask that you expediently put their minds at ease. Give them a new thought, a mind of Christ. Our eldest brother, as we look to Jesus for our direction and guidance, as our example, as a way maker, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is no matter, only mind. And as we begin to use our spiritual mind to see into our lives clairvoyantly, let us not be stuck on frozen viewpoints and looking at the material. Instead, we look at the spiritual. Father God, each and every household, let these family members be able to call their ancestors into being. We call each one of our ancestors as we go over to the talking cure fountain. We pour libation to the east and we say, Ashe. We pour libation to the north and we say, Ashe. We pour libation to the south and we say, Ashe. We pour libation to the north, and we say, Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my father and quench his thirst. Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother, spirit, and hope that she will be also endowed with her voice being heard. I light a candle for my mother's spirit and say Ashe. I light a candle for my father's spirit and say Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, as we begin to ask you to come into the presence of our home, come into the presence of our communion, we ask that you will help us, Lord, to show us the way, to allow you to use us in an expedient way, so that all those family members and all those loved ones out there will know that you have sent us into the highways and byways. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do and for what you've already done. We know that as a way maker, you've already summoned the ancestors so that we can stand on their shoulders. We thank you, Lord, that our family members have never left us and they've always been in the atmosphere. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have needs, tap into the energy. The energy has been made available to you. Tap in, I say, if you have need of income, jobs, prosperity, tap into the frequencies that be. If you have need of clarity, a sound mind, tap in and ask God to renew your faith. Let the vibrations of your body and even the ninth eighth of your hair vibrate. And as you vibrate, you will carry the frequency with you so that you will be able to lift other spirits. And as you lift their spirit, you will allow your countenance to be lifted also. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, for standing before you. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Father. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, on thee do we wait and on thee do we beseech for help. Father, help us. Help us to see our way. Help us to find our way and guide us in the dark when we're lost. Remove the scales from our eyes, Father. Help us to see who we really are. Help us to come into oneness and understanding so that we know that we are the chosen people who have been called to do a mighty work. Now let us be about our Father's business. Each and every one of you that are out there today, if you've not been a part of God's business, you need to be in the plan today, the family plan. So I say, tap in, I say, take hold of what God has called you to do and become an ambassador and expediently go out and do the work of a good soldier. And God will be careful to acknowledge you, but you are to be careful to give God all the praise and glory. I say to God be the glory. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for going over to the Talking Cure with me. Thank you for being a part of the Talking Cure. Now, I'm going to slow things down a bit. I'm going to take you to station identification. And I'd like to tell you that I am glad you decided to frequent this room and be a part of this room. And I want you to also know that you are appreciated for following me, doing Twitters, and leaving me notes. Keep leaving those notes. You are appreciated. Stay tuned for station identification.
Three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, performed by Ruby D.
We real cool. The pool players seven at the golden shovel. We real cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we die.
All right, Ruby D. We real cool, says Ruby D. How you like those poems? I love it when I find a poet that can accentuate on the magnificent. Those poems were certainly magnificent, I'd say. We're going to go right into Always Sisters, Always Friend. And you know, Miss Seeley Blues helped take us into that atmosphere real cool like. So we're going to call on Miss Seeley to take us into Always Sisters, Always Friends, Always Sisters, Always Friends. We use Miss Seeley blues to accentuate on the negative as well as on the positive, because see, we always have those low down dirty blues that come and go. And if you haven't experienced them, stay tuned. We're going to show you how to get some. So Miss Seeley is going to help us out in singing the Miss Seeley blues. Now, if you have not seen Color Purple, you need to go and check out that story, because, see, it talks a little bit about women having issues, you know? How's all you ladies doing out there this evening? I hope you're doing fine, just like the Suge is doing fine. If you're not, we're going to brighten your day, ladies and gentlemen. But I'd like to first of all let you know that Attorney Braden as well as Attorney Harris are going to be regulars on the show. And as we bring them into the segment, just be patient with us. We are working out some things as we speak. We were out of town and had to get back late, so we were not able to feature them on the show this evening, but they'll be right back with us in the atmosphere. And I certainly want you to tune in with your questions and answers. And because of us not having them here today, we're really short for time, so we're not going to do the paralegal segment. We're going straight into Always Sisters, Always Friends. And today's featured is The Good Life. What is the good life, and how do you get some, and how do you keep it? And if you get the good life, how do you share it with others? Stay tuned. We're going to be right back in the atmosphere talking to you about the good life. Stay tuned.
Malcolm X for Dudley Randall. Original. Ragged Round. Rich Robust. He had the hawk man's eyes. We gasped. We saw the maleness raking out and making guttural the air and pushing us to walls. An even in a soft and fundamental hour, a sorcery devout and vertical beguiled the world. He opened us, who was a key, who was a man.
Thank you so much for that poetry, Malcolm X. He opened us. And that's where I want to take you at on your journey as to the good life. I want you to be open to new concepts and not stuck on frozen viewpoints. I want to open you today about the opportunity to learn about the good life. Where can you buy it? You can't go shopping for it. You can't look in the catalog. And you can't go surfing on the net for it. You have to know what the good life is. Take a seat. Sit down in my living room. I'm going to share something with you today. When you have good friends who really, dearly, and truly care about you and wish you their best and would give their life for you, you are heading down the good life. Having friends and the richness that you have in their relationship starts the beginning of a good life. Those of you who don't have rich relationships do not know the good life. A friend can be cherished. A friend can be looked up to as a mentor. A friend can guide you when you have lost your way. The good life is opening up to new adventure, letting your friends who you trust guide you in the light where you have been traveling in the dark. And you let go and pretend that you have surrendered. Because you know somewhere in your heart you won't surrender. But I want you to surrender today because a good friend is going to take you on a journey. And when you have good friends, they'll take care of the whole matter. I don't care if you're in dilly-wa-dilly. If you ask a good friend to take care of it, they're going to cover it from top to bottom. That's the good life. When you can extend yourself when you're not even there, that's the good life. When you can have friends that care for you as if they're your kit and kin, that's a good life. Did I say anything about material things? Did I say getting a house up on the hill or getting that BMW or getting that Volkswagen Jetta? Did I say getting your 2.5 children? No, I said friendship. And the reason why I'm taking you from the perspective of good life as friendship, because when nobody else will come to your house and fix dinner for you and serve your family when you're flat on your back, that's the good life. Other people look at you and they quiver wishing your friends were theirs. Did you not know that other people could covet your friends and become jealous because you've got the good life? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me take you back a bit. Someone once thought I had the good life, and they were admiring me from afar. They were observing what went on in my life and the friends that I surrounded myself with, and they saw how kind and loving they were to me. They literally thought I had the better deal. And they immediately said if I had that many extensions of friends, boy, I wouldn't even have to call. I wouldn't even have to call the man to mow my lawn. I could get a friend over here and help me. That's just how good I had it, ladies and gentlemen. I prided myself on being very good to my friends and keeping them around me and letting them know how much I appreciated them. So they made sure they reciprocated that relationship. Having good friends is far better than having any material thing. Having a friend that will carry your family is far better than getting that mink coat, I said. So you don't want to pile yourself up with all kinds of material things. You want to have extensions of good friends. This is the good life. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be right back in the atmosphere for discussion with Mrs. Harvey on just what is the good life and how do you get some. I'm going to get on that train and go down here right now and get BJ in here, and BJ is going to show me how to get some of that good life, and I hope that you get on this train with me because you certainly need some good life in your life. Come on now. We're talking here. Always sisters, always friends, meaning we don't have to be kid and kin relationship. We have to stay into the friendship for the long haul, and we have to do the doggone thing. No matter what somebody else says about us, we've got to stay together as friends, and nothing can pull us apart. We're thicker than thieves. Come on, let me get BJ down here so we can go down here and get the good life. Because, see, some of you don't know nothing about the good life. I'm going to have to show you, but I can tell you. Come on, BJ. You need to go down here and get the good life. Come on, hurry up, BJ. All right. Going down here to get this good life. We'll be back in a second. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You ought to get you some good life. BJ, hurry on up. I need to get that good life down. All right, we're back with that good life. Now, what did we say about good life? Did we say it was material things? Did we say it was getting your hair done, looking good? Did we say it was getting a new shiny brand new car? Or getting some of that filthy look in your pocket? No, we didn't say any of those things. We said getting good friendship. You notice when I come on the air, I always acknowledge my followers. I take special time and say thank you from the bottom of my heart. And I want to say that again. I sincerely mean it because I want you to know that you're appreciated. So you'll come back. You'll stay with me. I adore good friends, and I love having good friends around me, and I share with my good friends, and they become like family. And when I embrace them into my circle, they know they've been loved. I become enriched in the good life. Let me also tell you that the good life consists of a connoisseur of good travel, traveling to meet people from all around the world, traveling to engage yourself in books, good written books, if you can afford to travel. Also a connoisseur of quality foods. Don't put junk in your body. Make sure you pick the quality food. Don't skimp on quality when you're purchasing, getting your basic four foods. Do not put excess non-calorie, non-additive and nutritional foods in your body. Make sure you're very careful of how you treat it. You want to have the good life. You want your friends to observe you from afar and desire the quality of life that you're leading. Not that you want someone to be jealous. You share your things with your friends, include your friends in your circle, and be quick to bring someone in that is not of status. Bring someone in of lower socioeconomic so you can help them learn. Keep them around you just like you do the rich. It's important for you to know about the good life. And I'm going right to the phone line. I'm going to ask Ms. Harvey if she can fill us in on her opinion of the good life. Hello, Mrs. Harvey. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm just great. We've been talking about the good life, what it means, how to get some good life, and how do you keep good friends around you to accentuate the positive so you have an extension of good friends in your life? How do you do that?
Well, one of the things you do in order to have a good life, you got to first have good health. And when you participate on your health and keeping yourself in good health, and you can share with your friends, and you can have a better friendship. So I feel like that I would work on my health, get my health together, keeping my health in top shape, sharing with my friends, and we coming together to have a good life, and we have a good friendship. As long as you have a good life and good health and your body's in good shape, you can have a better friendship, better relationship with your friends because you are in good health. But if you're sick and aching and paining and all this and all that, that's not a good relationship with a friend, because you got to tell your friend how sick you are. This has hurt me, this has hurt me. But if you keep your body in good shape, eat right, eat the proper food, and keep your body in good shape and stay in good health and share with your friends, it will develop a better relationship with your friends.
Well, Mrs. Harvey, you are on target about your health. And I want to thank you for pointing that out, because you cannot do anything for anyone else until you do something positive for yourself. I place that high up on my priorities, just to have good health, because certainly to have longevity would mean that you have long friendships as well. Now, granted that when we place those things in proper perspective, we want to be mindful of the fact that when our friends make a suggestion or tell us something about our health, we have to be very, very cued in, because they love us, and we have to listen to them. Sometimes we think we know best for ourselves, but when someone loves you and can view you from afar, they're observing you, whereas you can't observe yourself. Sometimes you have to grit it and take it in and chew up the part you need and digest it. The other part that you cannot utilize, you spit that out. But you don't confront that friend with a great big argument and them telling you to put a sweater on and how cold it is outside and how they don't want you to catch a cold. Then the next day they see you, you got the sniffles and you're in bed. That, no. That is stupidity. When someone loves you, they're telling you things for your own good. And we have to have an ear for our friends. This will give us the ability to live the good life. So when our friends look at us laid up, can't go out and participate in the rain and have fun because you have not cared for your body, even though they've recommended and suggested you put a jacket on. See, a hard head makes a soft behind. And there's too many old people, just because they've gotten old, think nobody can tell them nothing. They will never know the good life if they don't have an ear for their loved ones and friends, because they will always be stumbling over their own feet. Now, I'd much rather be wrong and be obedient and eat of the fat of the lamb, so that when we have this harvest, I can be in participation. What I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is that if I know you love me and you take me aside and whisper in my ear, even though it's something I don't like or never wanted to hear, I'm going to listen to you because I know you love me and you have my best interest. But you find that some people don't know when somebody loves them, and they become argumentative, and their best friends they beat up on. Why? Miss Harvey, why? Why does that happen?
Because mostly, if I have a friend, and I love my friend, and I see my friend is going into bad health, I'm going to tell her about it, and I'm going to suggest the good health food, and I'm going to suggest the proper food for her to eat, and I'm going to suggest her to go at the right thing. And then if she don't go at the right thing and won't listen to me, I'm not responsible, but I can still stay at her and still be her friend.
Now, Miss Harvey, my question was, why? Is it that we are ashamed to be proven that we have error or shortcoming, or is it that we want to appear to be someone that has it together and is right all the time? I far rather be wrong a couple of times and not have it together than to break up with my friend. See, I rather my friend hit me with the word than me to break up with my friend over nonsense. I see far too many friendships breaking up over somebody telling the other person what to do. When people tell you what to do, it takes a lot of nerve and a lot of interest to stop and tell you what to do. That person cares about you. They're not in your business. And sometimes the other person says, oh, you're in my business. Get out of my back pocket. You're in my business. And it has nothing to do with being in your business. If you want to go a long way and have a quality life, you want to have the same friends in your family, in your circle, not new friends every week. You want to keep long-time friends. That's the good life. Now, The good life is when you can extend favors to people that you don't know. Give them filthy lucre and money and make their way prosperous, and you pour over into somebody else's life and make them have lucrative gain. That's the good life. And when you got it that good, where you can go and give a gift or bless somebody financially, some people get angry. They look at you and say, what do you mean acting as if you're rich? What? You don't have to act as if you're rich. If you can bless somebody with excess substance, the outside world will hate you for it because they're figuring you're trying to be a big shot. Now, let's talk about being a big shot. When you got the good life, you want to be a big shot, and you are to be the big prawn, and you are to be a boss. Now, how does a boss behave when they got authority and power? How does a boss behave when they got authority and power? A boss defines who she is or he is, and she lets the world know her authority and her presence can make a difference. And she uses her authority to help other less privileged people. At the same time, she can go into a facility and speak good tidings on your behalf, because she's a boss and her presence is well acknowledged and accepted. And at that particular point, if she say you go or come, and because she has spoken good on your behalf, doors are open, that's the good life. Baby, that's the good life, to have a friend that has that kind of authority that can get on the phone and make a recommendation on your behalf. That's a good life. That's a good life. What else, Ms. Harvey?
You know what else is a good life, and I think it's the best life, is good health. Your health is the best life. Good health is the best life. And then, your friend, I think that you should try to apply that good health and take care of yourself, putting yourself in the right perspective of good health.
Now, Ms. Harvey, we know we can't go anywhere without good health. That is on the priority list. We're not doing a comparison of which one is better than the other. These are all needed things. Having quality of time with your friends, having friends that extend beyond the superficial, and we've also included health, because we know without the health, you cannot extend yourself to do anything. Now, there's no debate about which one is better than the other. I'm talking to you about when someone sees that you have an acquaintance that has authority and that person is a boss. They know you have excess favoritism with that person, and they know that you can appeal to that person's best interest to request certain favors. Now, that gives you an advantage over other people. That is the good life that I'm talking about. You do not take advantage of that. And that while at the same time, you know that you only go to that person with favors when it's absolutely necessary, because you know that person favors you. They're going to go to their utmost limit to assist and aid you. Now, that doesn't mean that every morning you're in that person's face asking them for a favor, taking advantage of them. No. The good life means you spend quality time with that boss. You go out and you interact with that boss, and you return the same favor to that boss if that boss needs you as well. And you offer your services to that boss as well. Now, as we know, our good friends can give us clout in a community and favor. Let's go on. We've talked about health, and we know that health is so vital, and that if you don't get good health, you'll soon be checking out of here. We understand that you can't eat chocolate bars and bonbons all day and expect to have the good life. You've got to put quality substance in your body. You got to understand that the basic four groups, you are what you eat. If you think you're going to be that little cute Susie with that petite shape, and you sitting in front of the TV set all day watching Araldo and all the soap operas, and you're chewing on popcorn in the morning, then you got your chocolate bar, then you got your soda all day, you're going to look just like the product you put in your body, like junk. And that's exactly how you're going to carry yourself. You can't expect to have a good life and look the part of a physique woman with a small, petite body who has watched her calories and is counting all of the protein so that every day she knows that she's growing beautiful. Now, how do you grow beautiful when you're getting ready to have the good life? You want people to say, oh, you're aging gracefully. So what are you doing? What are you doing different? Oh, I am having a salad every day. I don't drink pop anymore. I do juices and natural juices at that. And I do a whitener for my teeth, and I always try to go to the spa once a week, and I do special things for my hair. I moisturize it, and I vaporize. You want to tell the people about the quality thing that is giving you an edge. If you're 58 and you don't even look 50, you've been given an edge. You've got the good life, and people want to know about it. Open up your mouth and tell them what are the extra unique things you're doing that normally people wouldn't take the time to do. Quality of life is very important. When I was asked to speak on the good life, somebody set me up. It was a great setup when they wanted me to get up and talk about numero uno, myself. They wanted me to rally and to brag about how great thou art. But when I got up and told the congregation that I was a steward, I owned nothing, that I was a steward over the funds I had to manage, and that I was a steward over my life. And if I didn't manage it well, it could be taken away from me. And that I had nothing to brag about, nothing that would merit me enough to make me worthy. I was simply a but by the grace of God, meaning that nothing I could do could give me enough merit to prove that I was worthy to be acknowledged as having the good life. Now, when we say the good life, we have to measure that up a good against a standard. How do you know what standard to measure it against? You have to lift up a standard. And a standard just cannot impromptu come in. It has to be lifted up. And it only is lifted up when the flood comes in like a storm. Then a standard must be lifted up to measure the good life by. You don't just start lifting up a good life when something happens. You live a good life continually. You purpose in your heart to do quality things. Take time out for yoga. Take time out for meditation. These are quality life things that will pay off in the long run. Take time out for leisure and extracurricular activity with your family and family lifetime. All of these things will pay off in the end, and people will see you as a balanced and wholesome person. Then you'll have the good life. Let me go back to our phone lines and get Ms. Harvey back in here again.
Yes, what I was going to say is that everybody has to develop their own standard, because the things I do to acquire a good life may not occur to you. If I get up in the morning and I do push-ups and then my friend will walk around the park 5 times, it all depends on how we develop our own standard of good living and to develop a good lifestyle. I may go on a diet, you may walk, you may exercise, or somebody else may do something else, and then we can come together and share our experiences, and that would be benefit to all of us. So when you gain a good lifestyle and you feel that you have a good lifestyle, you don't try to give it to nobody. You can share it with somebody, and maybe if you walk and that's part of your daily exercise and you share with somebody else and they begin to walk, maybe that'll help them too. So it's not that you take these things and say, this is mine. It may not occur to that person, but something you might be doing that might help somebody else. So you can talk it over with them and share it with them, and they can develop what they want from it.
That sounds good, Mrs. Harvey. I agree with all of that and have no qualms about it. Now, let's listen to a Negro speak. Stay tuned. We're going to station identification.
I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. I bathed in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo, and it lulled me to sleep. I looked upon the Nile and raised the pyramids above it. I heard the singing of the Mississippi when Abe Lincoln went down to New Orleans, and I've seen its muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunset. I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
Ladies and gentlemen, as the poet reads about knowing rivers, he's giving his rendition of quality of life and how his soul has advanced itself from knowing rivers. We can become acquainted with good music, good people, quality of life, and our lives become advanced. But if you have not experienced these things, then you cannot say you've known the presence and joy of them. Just to have a vapor in your presence can change your life. Life-changing experiences come from having an enriched relationship or a life or an encounter with someone or something. We must not be afraid to have encounters with quality people and with quality things, such as experiencing learning to sing a solo, learning to play a piano or flute. All of these things are enriching in our lives, and we must take the challenge and the plunge to step out and be willing to enrich our lives, which gives us a better quality of life. Those who are stingy and prevent themselves from ever traveling or going places and seeing and meeting people, they are limited. Their lives can never be enriched. Your lives become enriched when you step across the color line to extend your hand out to someone of a different race than yourself and lend them that hand genuinely to lift them up and give them a hand up. We have to know rivers, like the poet said. We have to know the experience of other races of people, and they have to reciprocate that same feeling. I know when Caucasians are able to experience my life story, they are more enriched for it. They're more sensitized to work with other African-American people because they've known the experience that I've allowed them to share with me. And consequently, if I extend my life into a Caucasian's life, if they allow me to get a glimpse of their life and I become enriched from that experience, that makes me more sensitive to the issues of Caucasians. We've got to understand that we've got to take chances on people by including ourselves into their life experiences, not necessarily getting more filthy lucre and having funds and stockpiling things, but experiences, people, experiences that we wouldn't normally have. Now, here's my case in point. When you go off to college somewhere and you're in an all-black college, and there's only one white Caucasian on that campus, the experience of becoming friends with that Caucasian can be a great one because you will get to encounter experiences from her frame of reference and vice versa. You become enriched from learning about someone else's culture and their heritage, and you begin to learn their customs and traditions. You then become sensitized to know what is best needed for that race of people. It is very important that Caucasians, you stay around this room and learn about things such as Juneteenth, which is coming up soon, understanding our rituals and our process for which we do things, and also Kwanzaa, which we've already done, you become so enriched and you see that our lives are so enriched and you wonder what kept you from being a part of our life in the first place. Most Caucasians are amazed at the quality of life that African Americans lead, and they become so endowed with it that they want to take on their customs and traditions, and sometimes many of them do. That's because you've been fed a lie about who we really are, and you have held up blinders. But once you've taken the blinders down to get to know for yourself what type of quality of life is behind the shield of African Americans, you become more enriched and your quality of life is endorsed. If you want to have a quality of life, you must not be racist. You must not be showing partiality or become indignant because you refuse to learn somebody else's culture. Take the time to learn. Take the extra step because you can become enriched and have a better quality of life. Now, take it from Omi. As we embrace all people in this room, we know the African concept says that Ifa will mend our broken heart. Ifa was created to assist all races of people, because if I help myself, I better you. And if you better yourself, you better me. This world cannot consist and will not persist without everyone enriching their own lives. And ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for going with me on the Talking Cure. And I want to say, give Mrs. Harvey a few words, and then we're going to go right into our health segment. Hold on. Stay tuned.
I want to say that if we get to know each other, Caucasians and Afro-Americans get to know each other, we can learn. I worked in a place where I met a Caucasian lady, and we got to be good associates, and we learned from each other. She was telling me about her tan. I was telling her about who I was born with, and we learned from them. And it's good to get to know each other. Once you get to know each other, you can learn something from each other.
Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Harvey, for that information. And ladies and gentlemen, we do want you to join us again for Always Sisters, Always Friend. And you've heard it right here in the Care to Read Room. Always sister, always friend. And if you keep it that way, ladies and gentlemen, you'll have an enriched life and your quality of life will be great. And you will have the good life. Stay tuned for our health and wellness report from Dr. Jamel Harvey. We're going to go right into the segment in just a minute. Stay tuned. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now talking with Dr. Jamel Harvey on the topic that we were discussing, beauty is skin deep. And what are some of the secrets that some of the women 50 years or older are using? Are they using cosmetic or are they using nutritional enzymes and trace minerals and all sorts of things like that? We're going to go straight to the phone line, and we're going to welcome Dr. Jamel Harvey. Welcome, Dr. Jamel Harvey.
Thank you. Good evening. Glad
and
to be
is
here.
Beauty really skin deep, Dr. Harvey?
Your health is your wealth, as I always say, and in a right mind is your health. The first thing any of us, black folk, African American, however you want to call us, we really need to learn nutrition and health. Without nutrition and health, what do you really have? Why live if you are suffering? Why be here? So with women and aging, the first thing that hopefully those women were brought up as young ladies into health, that's the ideal thing from my perspective, but that is not the case. So we have an uneducated health population, and so they are in, my people should perish for lack of knowledge, as it says in the Christian script. With that said, I'm perceiving your question as what should females do to keep their beauty as they age? Yeah, enzymes. If you can find facial products with an enzyme base, that would be beautiful. If you can't, why not fast 3 days out of the week? Fast on fruit, fast with water, and have adequate enzymes for the body, okay? Fast with herbal teas, which would be milk thistle and some red clover. All right. Why? Because it helps the blood, and the blood basically develops what happens on the outside of the skin. Okay. Fasting will help to reduce the amount of poisons that are in the blood system and in your tissues. Fast using minerals the proper way, if you know how. I'm just putting it on the table. You have to learn how to use that, and we can talk about that in another segment. But a good vitamin C therapy in terms of fasting could do an immense job. Why? Because it triggers the collagen mechanism in the body. It helps with the connective tissue. Therefore, the lack of collagen, as we get older, men and women experience lack of collagen. Okay, and that is seen by wrinkles, it's seen by looseness of the skin, it is seen by a lot of things that have a disconnect from how you felt when you were 20 and 30, okay? The other thing that you would want to do is to invigorate your cells. Learn how to do that. We can have that conversation.
Dr. Harvey, I have a question I would ask you. Potassium, working on the soft tissue. We do so much with calcium, but I very rarely hear anyone talking about the potassium and magnesium that works on the soft tissues, and these are the minerals that beautify women. Can you talk on that subject for a moment?
You got to be careful with potassium. Too much and you can cause harm to someone, because potassium helps with the regulation of your heartbeat. Excuse me, and that's very serious. So that mineral.
No, I'm not speaking of taking the tablet per se. Like, for example, Welch's grape juice is full of potassium and has a large percentage of potassium that I've talked to several women where they've even talked about the grapes that this potassium comes out of, that it works on the soft tissue and prevents them from aging.
It's not necessarily the potassium, it's the vitamin C content, as well as it's the antioxidant base in the Welch's grape juice. The potassium is sort of like a booster to stimulate the heart so that the heart can push the blood through the body. The main thing with the Welch's grape juice, you would have the vitamin C content, and you would have the other antioxidants because of the melanated base of the grape seed. You have the grape seed extracts in there, in terms of squeezed grapes into a juice. All right, so you have photosynthesis from the sun, the vitamin C, the potassium, the vitamin C and potassium, and the sodium, because the sodium and potassium are used to get into the tissue. Okay, you need sodium to have peristaltic action in the colon to have good bowel releases as well. So sodium, potassium, and vitamin C from a Welch's grape would be a very strong antioxidant drink. And that's a good combination, because what do you have? You have the heart pumping strong because of potassium. You have the penetration into the soft tissue with the sodium and potassium and vitamin C. Remember, the vitamin C helps to do what? Strengthen the connective tissue in the body. And the connective tissue is that soft tissue of which you're talking about. Okay?
Now, Also, Dr. Jamil, the beautiful honey and the natural honey and bee pollen and propolis, queen bees are consuming all this rich, raw food. How rich and how good is it for human beings and for women? Should they be partaking of this quality of royal jelly? And how good is the bee pollen for you? Can you partake of this if it's not in season? And the propolis, it's all there. It's a beautiful substance. Tell us about it.
Well, there are people that are somewhat allergic to that. And what I would say is look at your colon health. If you have toxins and poison in a clogged colon and you're subject to allergies, then bee pollen or honey, you may have allergic reactions. People that have allergic reactions, 9 times out of 10, the toxin level in their body is so tremendous that a pure substance like that will cause a reaction on them. When you think about bees and you think about what they make, the honey, and you think about that product, propolis, what you're dealing with is no more than the most magnificent creature on the planet, and that's the bee. The bee comes from the DNA of a bee, and where does a bee derive from? Think about that for a moment. Think about the architect that put the bee here to do what? Continue to work to provide a energy source for human beings and to pollinate other plant sources. And if you look at how a bee moves around, okay, a bee is dealing with photosynthesis from the sun, melanation on its very creation, and the product that it creates helps humans immensely. Also, the sting of a bee can help certain humans that have certain diseases or certain body breakdown and function. So B12, the B vitamins that the bee is producing, I can't speak enough of the positive on that, okay?
It is
a very, very good food, a nutritious food, and you can also fast on that to correct some problems, some diseases, some discomforts.
As well as the royal jelly as well?
Well, a lot of humans, a lot of people are looking at the bee for energy, mm-hmm. okay? But honey, propolis, and what the bee produces can basically cure some diseases. You have to work with that particular product to see what I'm talking about. But what that means is clean your colon, clear your table, and work with the product. You can't not have a corrupted colon, a toxic body, and you're trying to work with a pure substance like a pure top-grade bee-pollinated honey. You want to cleanse your colon, get good digestion in your colon, then work with that product and watch you clear up some of your diseases.
Well, that is great.
And the reason for that is because of the high melanation and the high vibratory frequency that the bee emits, and it's into the product. It will help your cells because we have to deal with things from a cellular level, and a bee definitely deals from a cellular level. Bees are multidimensional, but that's another conversation.
I'm going to ask you the question again for the listening audience. That number here, listening audience, is 646-478-0270. And for the benefit of time, the question on the floor is beauty skin deep. What do you say when you see a radiant woman who's over 58, who is not aging rapidly, and at the same time, her daughters and sibling, she is basically being mistaken for a sister rather than a grandmother. Nowadays, you're finding that some of the grandmothers are aging and faring much better than the young women. I don't know if it's because they're getting more sleep, their diets are different, but we will say this. Young women are going to have to ask their mothers for beauty secrets, because there are some secrets that mothers are not putting out there, And there are a number of different things we have to do to keep ourselves beautiful. Now, Dr. Jamel, what are some suggestions of things that you could suggest topically that women can use that's in their kitchens, not necessarily their medicine cabinet, but their kitchen? I want to zone in on one thing, mayonnaise and honey and coconut milk.
Well, you can take mayonnaise, honey, and coconut milk, but what do you really have? Okay, what you want to use cunum and cucumbers. Okay, you want to take your mayonnaise and your honey combined with your cunum, okay, and your honey. All right, that would be, you have to add the cunum or you have to add turmeric also, because what you have is you have inflation. I mean, not inflation, excuse me, but yeah, you really do. But you have inflammation of the skin. Okay, inflammation of the skin occurs just like inflammation in the body occurs. So what you want to do is you want to take away the oxidation from a skin level. So get some cucumbers, smear it on your face. Why not? Why? Because the cucumber could make that mass, and it helps from a cellular level. The turmeric will help to remove the inflammation that the skin usually goes through, because it does that when you take turmeric inside of your body. It'll work outside of your body in a paste as well. Okay? That would be your natural clay. But the best thing to do is just to fast, drink the best water on earth possible. Get plenty of rest between the hours from, see, your melanin battery recharges itself between the hours of from 8 to 2, okay? If you're up past 2 to 5 in the morning, you've missed that opportunity to get your melanin battery charged. So when the earth rotates away from the sun, they call that a shadow hour, because there's no such thing as sunset and sunrise. When you go into the shadow hours, you must retire, because you want to get into the synchronization of the earth. You want to retire as soon as that shadow hour comes into being. If it's at 9 o'clock because of summertime, then lay down and go to bed at 9. Okay.
And Dr. Jamel, excuse me, is that why most doctors say that your various different levels of the Delta REM and the deep sleep occurs around those particular hours of 2 in the morning to 5, because that's when you really slip into a deep sleep? And if you are going to receive this melanin, you have to be at a deep sleep level. Is that why?
Well, yeah. And when you get into the rotation of the planet, you will begin to receive dark matter. You see, the Caucasian world or NASA scientists know nothing about dark matter. We do. Dark matter is what you should be craving, what your body right now is craving, to go to bed at 9:30, and it will wake itself up at around 4:30. Between 9:30 and 4:30, you get melanin recharging. When you walk around feeling dreary, run down, it's because you're not sleeping in accordance with your melanin dispensation. Your melanin dispensation tells your cells when they need to nourish themselves. So if you're not listening to yourself properly, your cells will speak to you. Why? Because there are trillions of cells that make up the human body. When you don't listen to that faint sound in you, or that inspiration that says we need to go to sleep now, and you wash that out with human drama and man's system, and you don't listen to your system, then it starts to wear on you. You start to having degenerative things that happen to you, be it in your brain, be it in your eyes, be it across your body. So when you get in sync with your higher self, you'll start to go to bed at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and you'll wake up.
Well, Dr. Jamel, based on that, you've given us a wealth of information that I'm going to take to heart myself, because I burned the candle on both ends, and I want to get those health beauty secrets together. So I'm going to change things around and go to bed early and get up early. so that I can take advantage of that beauty that's only skin deep. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Dr. Jamil for all of his wealth of information, and hopefully you'll go home and put these things to use and come back and listen to us again on tomorrow. You've been listening to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omi here who's getting ready to sign out, and I'm going to get ready to do my disappearing act because we're all out of time in this room, ladies and gentlemen. We got to get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to go and do my disappearing act. You've been great, and I want to see you back here tomorrow. And I say, Baba Booey to you, y'all, and Odabo. Come on, Cal, take me out. Got to do my disappearing act.
It's VA.
Oh, yeah.
About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free.
Baby, I'm your destination.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to disappear up out of here. You've been a great audience, and I want to thank you. And please do join us back here again tomorrow. Mrs. Harvey, my co-host, thank you so much. Dr. Jamel Harvey, thank you for joining us and bringing us all of those featured news about how to have better health and a quality of life. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, you can have the good life, but you must put your priorities in order and take care of your health. When you take charge and take care of your health, you will have the good life. And if you don't believe it, try going to bed early and tell me what you think when you see yourself the next day. I'm going to take Dr. Jamel Harvey's suggestion. I'm going to go to bed early for one time in my life and see how I like it and see if I wake up a beauty queen. Join me, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be able to check me out tomorrow and see if I'm that beauty queen, because I'm certainly going in that kitchen and take out those cucumbers tomorrow, and I'm going to wear that mask, and I'm going to have beauty because it is skin deep. We'll see you tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Get in that kitchen and get that beauty on. Get your sexy back. And put those cucumbers on your face, because we want to look the part when we get out in the courtyard. We want to tell people that beauty is skin deep. I'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned. Take care and take charge, as Brother Benny Muhammad would say. Thank you so much, Ms. Harvey. Have a great evening.